This is Donald Hussig with Cancer Action News Network. You are listening to Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. Joining us today is Linda Gasser of Prevent Cancer Now and a smaller, more regional group that is seeking to stop construction of the Durham York Incinerator Project. Linda, welcome to the show, and tell us about the Durham York Incinerator Project. Where it's been, where it's going, you know, how you're going to stop it.
Thank you, Don. Good morning. The Durham Incinerator Project, I should say Durham and York regions are partners on this incinerator project, began in 2005. They undertook an environmental assessment study that went through various phases where they picked the technology, the site, the vendor. They submitted the EA studies to the Minister and Ministry of Environment in the summer of 2009. And after amending their studies, the minister approved the EA in November 2010. After receiving the environmental assessment approval, they moved on to the permitting phase, and they received their operating permits, which are called certificates of approval, on June 28, 2011. There was one more hurdle after that. York and Durham Region had to agree on a co-owners agreement. Durham owns 78% for round numbers, and York owns about 22%. And there was a special council meeting at the end of July, July 26th, where the Durham Region councillors agreed on this co-owners agreement. And shortly after that, both regions issued the notice to proceed to Coventa, who is the operator and builder of the proposed incinerator.
Okay. Now, tell us about we're going to focus on the matters of health. Tell us about what the Ontario government, and, you know, what did the Ontario government do in order to cause the public to believe that this project was going to not cause damage to the health of the people in the Durham and York region?
Like all governments, the province of Ontario has a variety of standards and guidelines that projects are supposed to be able to comply with. However, the concern of the public, and this is the concern of, you know, the local groups working to oppose this incinerator, and a concern shared by Prevent Cancer Now, is that many of these standards are not health-based. The other problem is really insufficient monitoring of these projects is undertaken. And as a result, it's very difficult to determine what actual health effects are from these emissions versus what the modeled predictions are. So the Ontario government claims that if a polluter pollutes below a certain standard, that there should be no undesirable health effects. However, many of the standards are not health-based. Some are outdated. For instance, the standard for NOx is from sometime in the 1970s. There is no standard for particulate matter, PM2.5 or PM10. And, you know, these are contaminants of concern because there are a range of health risks from heart disease through to cancer, potentially from certain contaminants.
So let me just stop you right there. Yeah. You've already brought to the attention of the listeners a very serious deficiency, a very serious limitation, something that should, you know, in minds of reasonable people trying to have a healthy world to live in and not harm the world anymore and harm our bodies anymore with more pollution than what we've already encountered, that this would have been the end of this project. Go on and help us understand why that wasn't the end of it, and also let's do a little elaborating in a minute here upon this matter of the dioxin emissions from the incinerator.
Well, as part of environmental assessment in Ontario, the proponents are supposed to look at alternatives, and they are supposed to be able to substantiate why a preferred alternative is better than the other alternatives looked at. And one of the alternatives that the proponents did not look at in detail was how to achieve a zero-waste strategy, which would ultimately work on reducing the amount of waste produced, reducing the amount of waste requiring any kind of final disposal, and also allowing a focus to maximize diversion opportunities. And this was not looked at in any detail. And, you know, our concerns were numerous, but that was a huge concern in the sense that a doable option was not evaluated formally in the environmental assessment. And many of the, you know, much of the rationale for the support for incineration was only allowed to occur because the Minister of Environment, at the time the terms of reference for the EA were developed, approved a terms of reference that excluded assessment of the ash residues from incineration. And that's absolutely crazy because it turned into a silly incineration versus landfill debate when it's anything but. If you incinerate, you automatically have process residues, you know, whether it's ash for mass burn or slag for Plasmarc, you have residues that require some kind of final disposal. And in this case, the ash from the proposed Durham incinerator will be sent to New York State in the Lewiston area. And, you know, and that is just crazy to exclude consideration of that range of impacts, which includes everything from storage and transport of the ash to ultimate disposal in a landfill in New York State and all the impacts associated with that.
So it's clear that one of government's strategies in bringing this to take place is to try to limit the matters so much, so it's a small part of the picture as far as what will happen to public health that they just avoid, basically just refuse to deal with the parts of the problem, of the project, that they cannot convince people are truly an acceptable way of disposing of the solid waste.
Well, you know, there was no adoption of the precautionary principle. There's so many things that cannot be determined. The province of Ontario relies heavily on risk assessment as regards the emissions. And risk assessment has huge limitations. You know, it does not address things like the synergistic effects between various contaminants.
Exactly.
And that toxic stew that's created, and that in many cases results in many of these unintentional persistent organic pollutants being created, such as dioxins.
Yes, let's talk now about the matter. What did the Ontario government do to assess the health impacts of the dioxin emissions that were expected to be, you know, the dioxin releases of this project?
Well, as I mentioned, they relied exclusively on the risk assessment, which was produced by consultants who at one time were members of the Canadian Energy from Waste Coalition. And, you know, we found it at the local level, you know, the groups that are working for many years to oppose this project, we found it quite egregious that the very consultants who have an interest in promoting what they call energy from waste, that's the euphemism how incineration is described by consultants and governments in Canada, and these are the people who produce the risk assessments about the very technology that they are flogging. And, you know, this was a huge concern. And these risk assessments have limitations in terms of the type of effects that they can estimate. I mean, risk assessment is an estimate of risk based on modeled emissions, which are essentially predictions of what would be coming out of the stack. It's a very imperfect process.
Yes, I'm quite expert in quantitative cancer risk assessment. I'm sure that the risk assessment they performed was supposedly for more endpoints than cancer, but I can say that I am in total agreement with you upon the limitations of risk assessment, in particular with regards to quantitative cancer risk assessment. And I'll give you a perfect example of how the Canadian government has certainly failed to conduct a sufficient quantitative risk assessment with regards to cancer risk. The Canadian government continues to tell Canadians that the amount of risk imposed by exposure to dioxins is insignificant. This is totally false because the US EPA is in the process of producing a dioxin reassessment, has been doing this for 20 years plus now. It's 21 years old now in 2011. And this is taking so long because Dow Chemical Company and Monsanto, and I'm sure Covanta and other entities which do not want the public to deal with and have government deal with the actual damages to health, the actual cancers caused by exposure to dioxins, the Canadian government says, we won't look at the science that describes a more than 1 in 1,000 cancer risk for adult males exposed to dioxins back in the 1950s and 60s when they were working in factories that produced the 2,4-5-T, that's a phenoxy acid herbicide that had a heavy dioxin contaminant at that time. The Canadian government, they continue to merely repeat what corporations say that have a vested interest in not dealing with dioxin and cancer. They say, we think dioxin doesn't cause cancer at any levels other than very, very, very high levels. So right there, they're cheating because all the scientific literature says that it causes cancer at levels that are very close to the background levels of exposure, the levels that are in the food supply at this time. Because these industrial workers, some of them were exposed less than others. And so you see that there's very nearly an overlap between background levels of dioxin exposure now and occupational levels of exposure back in the 50s and 60s. And see, that's just part of the story. The risk assessment, it doesn't say anything about gestational exposure. And in animal studies, we see that gestational dioxin exposure causes increased cancer risk. It doesn't say anything about nursing exposure, infancy exposure, puberty exposure. It doesn't say anything about women being exposed. This is all for adult males. The quantitative risk assessment is certainly flawed with regards to dioxins and cancer, because I know every bit of science there is to know about that, and I can tell you that the government of Canada lies to Canadians right on the Health Canada website about background exposure to dioxin. So they certainly are not telling the truth or dealing with the real science, the peer-reviewed scientific literature, when it comes to doing a risk assessment for dioxin exposure cancer risk.
Well, I think, you know, that is, what you say is certainly worrying. And, you know, in Canada, and it might not be very different in the U.S., in Canada, many of these departments, which are charged with protecting public health, such as Health Canada would be, also work with industry in numerous capacities to either help promote their products, you know, be it pharmaceuticals or pesticides or, you know, you name it. So these mixed mandates, in my opinion, make it very difficult for these ministries and departments to perform their primary function, which should be promoting issues in the public interest, and in the case of Health Canada, protecting public health. So that's problem number one. And the big problem I have with Health Canada's approach to minimizing exposure to dioxins is to put the onus on Canadians to say, well, you know, limit meat in your diet. You know, it is absolutely not dealing with the fundamental issue of how did those dioxins get into the food chain in the first place? And that is a huge concern that we have, in particular, with the proposed Durham-York incinerator, because the host municipality where it would be located is an agricultural area. In fact, agriculture is their primary industry.
See, that's the worst thing they could do there.
They're also host to a nuclear power plant and some other industries that are polluting. But agriculture remains their primary industry, and they hope to promote local agriculture, local food, and here they are with this incinerator.
And see, this is another point. I'm so glad you mentioned this matter of the nuclear power facility being already there. See, here's what they do, Linda. They look at the adverse health impacts and they do the risk assessment for one little part of the environment at a time. So they did a health risk assessment, I'm sure, when they proposed and constructed and began to operate the nuclear power facility. Now they do another one for the Durham York incinerator proposal. They never put together, they never add up the total impacts of all the poison, the tritium, the other radioactive nuclides, and then the dioxins and the metals coming from both of these facilities, let alone add up the pollutants coming from the innumerable facilities that actually impact the environment right there where you are producing food. They are cheating. They're cheating, and they're cheating because what you said about Health Canada and other federal government entities doing work for both public and corporations, well, we see it as worse than that. We see it here in the U.S. as the corporations totally controlling government, and the government merely acts to impose the view of the world upon all of us that the corporations have. That's the way it is here in the U.S.
Well, I just want to say a couple of things about the risk assessment further to your comments. While cumulative impacts analysis is not a required part of the provincial EA process in Ontario, they did do a partial cumulative impacts analysis based on the emissions that would be emitted by the incinerator, and they looked at emissions from existing industry within a certain geographic area of the proposed incinerator. So they did do some analysis, but it certainly would not be what I would characterize as a complete cumulative impact assessment, such as would have been required if this would have been a federal EA. Now, neither process is perfect, okay? And the cumulative impacts analysis, it's a very difficult thing to achieve and to produce an impacts analysis that some would say fairly represents the cumulative impacts. But nevertheless, I agree that it is very difficult to fairly assess the cumulative impacts of a number of projects occurring over different periods of time, and that is where we're at now. And to look at the totality of impacts, not just the emissions that would come out of the incinerator, but how does this also combine with other contaminants like tritium that would be released by the nuclear plant. So, yeah, there's certainly those challenges. And I have to tell you that, many people in Clarington are extremely concerned about another, polluting industrial plant being potentially located in Clarington, just a few kilometers from the existing nuclear plant, which the Ontario Power Generation wants to expand. They're also undergoing a new build environmental assessment. So this is a huge concern.
What we're talking about here is so central to the whole matter of whether we're going to take the actions that reduce cancer incidence and the only way to reduce cancer incidence is to reduce exposure to chemicals that cause cancer and agents such as the radio frequency radiation and the EMF, these agents which impose increased cancer risk. And it is no reasonable person would propose to add on another large source of releases of chemicals known to cause cancer, the dioxins, the PCBs, the lead, the arsenic, the cadmium, the chromium, all widely known, all well demonstrated and documented emissions of incinerators, solid waste incinerators, municipal solid waste incinerators emit all those human carcinogens, no one would propose adding that on when the high rates of cancer exist in your country, our country, the whole world. Cancer is now the number one killer in the whole world. I think it's soon going to become number one in the U.S. You do not, it is unsound when, like you say, there's this very kind of less than perfect, far less than perfect, this very rudimentary, these beginnings of trying to assess the risk. And yet we see the huge amount of cancer, and we're going to risk without knowing what the risk is, because what we mean by saying the risk assessment is rudimentary is that we do not know what the risk is of doing this. We're just going to throw our hands up in the air and say, okay, we want to burn this trash, so we're going to do this without knowing what the risk is, even though there's a huge amount of cancer, and we know we're adding more risk. You cannot continue to add risk, even small amounts of risk, on top of too much risk already. You have to start taking away risk, which means not adding any new risk, and getting rid of that power, that nuclear power facility.
Well, just to speak to the issue of the additional risk from the incinerator, that is why Prevent Cancer Now developed their incineration campaign starting in 2008 to alert Canadians about the potential exposure to carcinogens that would be emitted by incinerators, and to characterize this as an avoidable exposure, because there are other options, much better options, on how to address the whole waste issue. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, a zero waste strategy, there's no template for how any community can achieve zero waste, because a lot depends on local, regional, provincial, you know, state, federal regulations, and every municipality has a different range of constraints and opportunities and resources. But every municipality could begin to address issues of waste generation and on maximizing diversion opportunities, so that ultimately far less waste would require ultimate disposal. So Prevent Cancer Now in 2008 developed a toolkit for ordinary Canadians. It's not a highly technical toolkit, so that they could learn what the range of issues were with incineration, everything from potential health effects right through to what a financial drain incinerators are on municipalities that enter into long-term contracts with vendors of incinerators. And so our toolkit also contains a sign-on statement. And I urge not just Canadians, but people everywhere, and especially our neighbors in America, to sign this position statement, which calls for the ultimate banning of incinerators, because there is no valid reason, and it is prudent not to add to the additional burden that we already bear in terms of terrible air quality and increased cancer risks as a result of pollution from incinerators.
We see this as a time for a whole new paradigm in the matters of public health protection. The stage has been reached long ago. We are far beyond the stage of saying enough already. There's too much disease that is caused by exposure to pollution. The new paradigm must be minimization of exposure to pollutant carcinogens. And that fits perfectly with what you're saying. But see, government will not listen to this. And so tell me, let's go to another phase of our interview here. What are we going to do? You know, what is Prevent Cancer Now? What is your regional groups? What are the people that are dealing with this Durham York Incinerator proposal? What are your plans for stopping this project, taking into account all you've experienced, all you know, all we know, Cancer Action New York knows, all the people of New York State and Canada and the U.S. know about the government's lack of good intention in protecting public health, and this determination merely to follow the leadership of the corporations that want to sell incinerators or do whatever kind of other business corporations are doing, because it's the same way. It's not just incinerators. It's shale gas. It's tar sands. There are so many projects, proposals, plans of the corporates and these people that are part of the corporate world and corporate government culture. What is your plan to stop the incinerator, regardless of what these people that don't care about public health, don't care about causing cancer rates to go higher when they're already too high already? What's your plan?
Okay, as Prevent Cancer Now's incineration campaign coordinator, Prevent Cancer Now, we basically monitor a number of incineration projects across Canada, and we try to inform local communities about the, you know, these projects being planned in their areas, update them as to what the progress is, and we try to get the local community, members of the local community, be they, you know, known activists or others interested in the issue, to take on and monitor these projects, because it requires a huge amount of time to follow these projects so that and gain enough knowledge about the details in order to fight them effectively. And Prevent Cancer Now does not have the resources to get involved in every project closely at the level of detail that would be required. So our job is, my job is, to make people aware of what's going on to the degree that I can, share resources. For instance, the Durham Project has provided a huge amount of information that is very relevant to other communities fighting mass burn incinerators. That's just one example. So I'm in touch routinely with the people in Metro Vancouver, where Metro Vancouver Regional District has just gotten approval by their Minister of the Environment in BC of a waste plan that includes a potential incinerator. So that's what Prevent Cancer Now will do. As far as me as a member of a local regional group opposing the Durham Incinerator Project, I'm a resident of Durham Region, we have taken a number of steps. Just because the project received EA approval and received the operating permits does not mean that it's over as far as we are concerned. We've taken legal action. One of our member groups is incorporated, and they have filed an action with the Ontario courts to challenge Durham Region and the host community for signing an agreement that basically waived the planning rights of the public around the zoning. We don't believe that this project has proper zoning. It did not go through the proper process. And in a host community agreement, the host community council basically said, okay, we say that you're not going to need to go through this rezoning process. And basically what they did was they signed away the public's rights and access to the planning process, and more importantly, access to the appeal rights that go with the planning process.
Yes.
So that's underway now, and there's a hearing scheduled for September. There's a provincial election in Ontario on October the 6th, and we are working very hard locally, regionally, and with a number of groups in Toronto. Toronto is the provincial capital, and, you know, obviously, much of the election will be fought in the Greater Toronto area. There's the largest number of seats at stake. And we are fighting very hard to make all the issues around waste, to make them a political issue, and specifically this incinerator. And we are asking the minister to review his approval. We, a number of our local members have studied the emissions very closely and have found numerous errors and inconsistencies over the course of the study that call to question the conclusions of this risk assessment on which approval was based. So there's a number of avenues that we will be pursuing, and an inspiration to us is something that happened in New Brunswick. There was a hazardous waste incinerator planned for Beldune in New Brunswick, and it
yes.
was ultimately built, but it never burned any hazardous waste because activists continually challenged it. And so even though, you know, the structure actually was built, It never operated as an incinerator, and you might have followed that issue as a member of the Gaia List.
I did.
Because this is what we tell people. It is not over.
It's not over.
There are numerous options still
available. Not even close to being over.
And obviously, there is no, one fell blow with which, we think this will be killed. The other thing is, by the time this incinerator would be built, if construction actually starts this fall as they plan, and if it were actually built on schedule, it would be erected just around the time that regional councillors would be seeking re-election. And we were successful in last year's municipal election in getting rid of many councillors who supported incineration, including the mayor of the host community. So, we know, politics is the art of the possible, and we know that there are many ways in which this could be tackled, and we're going to attempt to, engage in as many of them as possible.
It sounds like that you are on the path to stopping this. It's just plain bad. It's people that just only care about making money, getting their claws into your region, and then twisting your government, something that you should have the control of, twisting that government into something they have control of, and then poisoning people further that have lived already too much poisoned existence and had to suffer too much cancer, too much cardiovascular disease, too much asthma, too much... There are depression. Depression has been found to be caused by exposure to pollutants like lead and some of these other... The POPs, the persistent organic pollutants, they are understood to play a very major role in, as far as neurotoxics go, and causing changes in brain. PCBs limit IQ and limit brain capacity and function. And some of these other chemicals, some of the other POPs, as endocrine disruptors, they harm the balance of the mind that keeps us free of depression. There's so many ways in which the science is just exploding, burgeoning. There's so much new science every day on the Gaia Listserv, that's the Global Alliance for Incineration Alternatives, on the IPEN, the International POPs Elimination Network Listserv, on the Toxic Discussion Group Listserv. The people know this science. They're beginning to know it better and better. The government knows it, but they don't want to use it. We're coming to all new days, and I'm thinking quite quickly, there will be huge changes in just how well government and industry fare in imposing these new... See, this is major. We're not talking about, say, building a gas station or building, another little road someplace. We're talking about imposing a huge source of pollution on an already heavily polluted part of the world, a place where too much cancer exists right now. So I'm thinking that as the public becomes more and more knowledgeable, you can just Google search. You can just sit there on your mobile phone that's, like an iPhone or, has the computer connection, and basically do a Google search for cancer, dioxin or cancer, PCBs, and find the scientific literature that people can use to fight these projects and that the government and the corporations want to keep ignoring. We're going to win. I know we're going to win.
Well, certainly, we're very optimistic. We saw how we effected change last year in the municipal elections. We're prepared to engage even more in this upcoming provincial election. And, a great deal of effort is spent on informing and mobilizing people because, we have found over the, 5+ years that we have been, most closely involved that it is very, first of all, many people don't even know these projects are being considered. There's all these hoops that the proponents have to go to, but it's really very limited what they actually have to do in terms of consulting with the public. And really, many of their consultation events are really just a PR and communications exercise, information management. It's in the end, actually in Durham, there has been no public consultation in over 2 years, even though they were directed to do so by the Ministry of Environment. ultimately the Ministry of Environment didn't even enforce their own direction. But we could see the further this project progressed and the more the public became informed and the more difficult and pointed the questions became at these public forums. In the case of Durham Region, they stopped bringing people who could answer these questions, and they basically defaulted saying, well, we don't have anyone here who could respond to that. We'll get back to you. And, you know, it would be months, if ever, that questions were responded to. So, you know, we know that informing people, helping them understand the issue, helping them to drill down to the essentials, and then encouraging them to taking whatever steps that they can to get involved, you know, whether it's writing a letter, showing up at a meeting, taking part in a protest, going to, you know, to a rally in downtown Toronto before the Ontario Parliament buildings, doing some research, fundraising, whatever it takes. We're just urging people, if you care about your health, and if you care about the, if you are concerned about the health of your family and your children, this is a project that will impact you directly. And so it takes time. That's, you know, time is not always on our side, but we know that we are making progress and that there is a solid core group of people who have made this issue their priority. And that's really what is going to carry us through.
I think this is a perfect juncture. You know, we've covered the ground. We're both on a high note of good vibe and belief in the people and the knowledge and the desire for a healthy life the one time you're alive, and the desire to have government that is not the government of the corporations but government of the people. To bring all that together, I'm thinking that we've done that and we're ready to wrap this up. What do you think?
I think that's great. And once again, I urge your listeners to sign Prevent Cancer Now's position statement against incineration. That's at www.preventcancernow.ca. And I look forward to following your media releases and being in touch with you as we find other opportunities to speak about this issue and others.
Yes. It's been so good talking to you, Linda. I love what you're doing. I sensed a good vibe in your group, the Prevent Cancer Now, right from my first awareness of it. Dave Renault, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes, Dave Renault, yep.
Dave Renault, Dorothy Golden Rosenberg, Linda Gasser, you guys are top flight cancer preventers. We love the way you are focused on what needs to be focused on, this matter of reducing exposure to chemicals that cause cancer. Dorothy's doing such great work with the nuclear reactors. You are doing such great work with the incinerators. Dave has done such great work with the labor unions. We love you guys. And I'm just hoping all the best for you. And thanks. Thanks for giving me this great interview.
Thank you, and you are most welcome.
Have a nice afternoon, Linda.
Thank you. You too.
This has been Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. I've just been speaking with Linda Gasser of Prevent Cancer Now. I'm going to make one more suggestion to the listeners. Go to our website, www.canceractionny.org, and look at what we have there on the tile that is stated POPS Exposure Reduction. POPS Exposure Reduction is what this is all about. If the public were to know how important it is to minimize, not reduce, minimizes is a better word, to minimize our exposure to POPs, there'll be no more incinerators, there will be no more failures to clean up hazardous waste sites. The public will be demanding rapid progress on reducing exposure to the point of minimization when it comes to chemicals like dioxins and PCBs and brominated flame retardants and the old pesticides. We're coming into a whole new world with so much scientific knowledge around. Let's jump on this and make sure that we have a world where the kids don't have to worry about getting cancer very, very soon, in the very near future. This is Donald Hussig with Cancer Action News Network. You've been listening to Loving the Earth, Environmental Revolution. Viva the Revolution!